This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Hezrul Ashraf. This week, Bursaith 2.0 and Ideas, the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, released a report suggesting that all MPs and adhuns receive equal CDFs, or constituency development funds. In fact, they're suggesting that Parliament legislates this, and at the same time, they're hoping that it'll address political competition and the politicization of development for the rakyat. Now, to take us through the report and the suggestions and ways Malaysia can level the playing field with CDFs, I've got Sri Murniati Yusuf, manager of the Public Finance Unit at Ideas, as well as Bangi MP Dr. Ong Kian Meng, Uni YB. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so the report is called Removal or Reform, Charting the Way Forward for Malaysia's Constituency Development Funds. Uni, let's, you know, take us through the report. You know, what are the main proposals that, you know, Bursaith and Ideas have come up with?
As you mentioned earlier, so the important proposal that we put in the paper, in the short term, we encourage both the federal and state government to have a legislation on Constituency Development Fund, or as we know as Peruntukan Ahli Parlimen or Peruntukan Adun. Mm. So the legislation, most importantly first, will require the state government and federal government to put the allocation clearly in the budget. As of now, at the state level, we couldn't find what the allocation in the budget document. So that's the first thing. Secondly, the legislation will compel both the state government and federal government to distribute the fund either equally or equitably based on certain formula to all ADUN and MPs, including the opposition MPs. The third one is to have some transparency measures. So the legislation will require the agency, the managing agency, which is now ICU and the Pejabat Daerah, as well as the MPs and ADUN, to publish reports on the use of the allocation. So I think that's very much. And the last one, I think, if it's possible to have some sanction if abuse or any embezzlements or fraud took place in the use of the CDF.
Now, is there a proposed amount so far specifically for allocations, or is this more of an open-ended proposal?
I think it's open-ended proposal. I think it should be decided based on the needs of the constituencies, because, of course, like Bangi, for example, has is a huge constituency which will require different allocation to smaller constituency.
Right. Now, on that note, you know, YB, what is the distribution of CDFs look like currently? I mean, when we talk about constituency development funds, is it the equivalent of parliamentary allocations, right? How you know, how people talk about it in general terms, are they the same thing?
Yeah, they are the same thing. And I'm not sure what the latest figure is now for the MPs in the government front backbench, but when PH was in power, each MP in the government side got 3.5 million. And that's divided into 2 million for what they call Project Mesra Rakyat. Most of these are infrastructure projects. And then another 1.5 million outright grants. So this will be given to NGOs and other associations that work closely with the MP for you know, outreach activities in the kawasan. Right now, I'm getting exactly 100,000 ringgit from the federal government. I have 187,000 voters in my constituency, the largest in Malaysia. So this works out roughly to 53 cents per worker, per voter in the constituency.
When the government you know, distributes the allocations, is there a classification of funds, or do MPs and ADUNs, you know, have complete discretion when it comes to using them?
Yeah, so like I said just now, there's a breakdown between you know, the infrastructure projects, which is 2 million, and then the outright grants to NGOs and things like that for 1.5 million. There are different subcategories. So for example, there's a subcategory where you can give up to 200,000 ringgit for flood relief or disaster relief. So, you know, there are different subcategories, but generally speaking, the MP has quite a large leeway in terms of how he or she wants to spend the constituency development funds.
Right. And I mean, aside from what the government allocates you, you know, how else do you raise funds in your constituency? Have you been able to do
so? Yeah, so after we lost power at the federal level, the MPs reverted to state government funding. So we get about 300,000 ringgit from the state government for our constituency development fund, out of which 50,000 is for staff salaries and expenses, and then 250,000 is for things like infra projects as well as outright grants to associations. So that is not sufficient, obviously, especially on the staff salary part. So probably later this year, I'll have some sort of a fundraising, some fundraising activity. Usually for my party, we would have fundraising dinners to raise funds for the office. But given the fact that we are undergoing this pandemic right now, so probably it's going to be by online kind of approach.
Right. Uni, I just want to look at the allocations, the measures rather. I mean, are there different suggestions or conditions between the federal and state levels? You know, are they vastly different, or are the principles mainly the same?
In terms of use, as YB mentioned just now, I think it's quite the same. So the MPs get allocation for a small infrastructure project and also for helping NGOs and helping their voters in their constituencies. And also there's some allocation for running the office. So, but of course, the amount is different. And for example, in Selangor, the allocation is between 600,000 to 800,000 annually. But Sarawak, for example, I think in 2019, each ADUN probably will get around 8 million. So that's quite quite a significant amount, even compared to federal MPs.
Yeah. You know, what's the situation like when we look at other countries, right? Do you think that there are governments who have struck the right balance? Maybe YB, we can, you know, pitch this to you first. Are there certain, you know, is there something that we can, is there a country that we can refer to in terms of the amounts of distributions of allocations?
Not that I'm aware of, you know, because a lot of the countries that use first-past-the-post system, many of them are most in developed countries. So in places like UK and Canada and you know, America as well as, you know, I think Australia, the issue of constituency development funds doesn't really come in because the culture there is that they don't expect the MP to give them money. They expect the MP to legislate, to debate bills in parliament. But because, you know, in Malaysia, we're still not a fully developed democracy, there's still these kinds of requests coming from the ground. So I think we have to live with this reality for the short term, but perhaps in the longer term, we may be able to transition to a stage whereby the constituency development fund gets less and less, and then perhaps the staff salaries for the MPs gets more and more as you know, the MPs go towards a much more policy-driven role within the Malaysian polity.
Uni?
If we look into countries that has CDF, I think in our research we have about 17 countries, but as YB mentioned, none of these countries are developed democracies, mainly like countries in Africa or other Westminster countries like India and Pakistan. And I think in terms of the size of the allocation, I think it's in between 1% to 5% of the annual budget.
Okay.
So that's quite okay. Not too much. But I think that's a sort of important amount to be set aside so that the constituencies or the voters can decide on what kind of project that they are needed at their level. But I liked, I think it's important that YB point out just now. I think actually the one that I mentioned earlier, that's a short-term proposal. We also have a long-term proposal in which we want in the future that we envision that MPs will have less role in CDF, and instead other bodies, for example, local council will have more role in this.
Right.
But of course, that will take a long time to do that.
Right. I mean, elaborate on that. I mean, why is it more conducive for local councils to have more of a role?
That's an interesting question. We had a big debate in the launch the other day. I think what we want right now, we still haven't find like what would be the best, who would be the best to handle this. But we know that the MPs needs to focus their efforts on doing legislation instead of doing, you know, turun padang and help the constituencies. So we want that. So we want to reduce MPs' involvement. At the same time, we want to empower local council, which in our view, closer to the voters. They probably know as much as MPs on the needs of the voters, but at the same time will be more involved will be more accountable, right, closer to the voters. That's, I think, our idea before. But I think this needs to be discussed properly before we move towards that. But I think there's an agreement that MPs should have, or MPs and ADUN should focus their efforts or their works on doing legislation.
So more legislation and to an extent less physical time in their constituencies, less face time with constituents?
Yes, I think in our research, for example, we see that Malaysia's lawmakers have less sitting days than other countries. Mm. In the UK, for example, MPs sit about 150 days a year. Mm. Our MPs only sit 68 days. And of course, because we don't have parliamentary select committees, for example, that's one of the things. At the state level, the number of sitting days, even less. It's about like 10. I think the most would be 18 days a year.
Right.
So most of the time, the MPs went to constituencies, asked what they need. It's good. But I think we need our MPs to really legislate and also oversee the government works, right? Do their works to ensure that these policies implemented well.
And so then the local councillors would have that front-facing role. In your view,
that's our view for now. But I think that needs a lot of elaboration and discussion. But YB has a view on that.
Yeah, because
maybe I just want to add something.
Yeah.
I think the idea that just because we let's say we have the constituency development funds taken away from us, that means that we will have less face time with voters. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Because I think if, let's say, we are going to be more policy-focused, then what the MP should do is to, again, hear the views of their voters in terms of what kind of policies they want to be implemented in this country. Right now, because many voters expect or think of their YBs as people they go to for handouts, they don't really put any pressure on the YBs or the MPs to think about policies. So in the end, you know, whenever we're in parliament, whatever we debate on, most of our voters actually don't care. They don't listen to. Right. So if, let's say, we're going to change the situation to one whereby we actually have to care about what our voters think in terms of our policy positions and what we say, then definitely we can spend equal amount of time with them to talk about our policies. And that's what happens in places like the US, for example. Mm. You know, they have to really hear the voters in terms of different policy matters that are important to them.
But can I just add?
And I think when we said reduce MP's role, not in terms of face time, they still need to see their voters. And for that reason, the proposal that we put forward is to actually separate the funding for service centres, right? Because it's needed. The service centres funding right now is only 300,000 a year.
Okay.
And MPs need to have proper staff to do research, to even entertain, you know, if the constituencies or the voters come to them with problems, with things, they need to have staff to entertain this request. Mm. So we still need some funding and even increase that amount of funding. But in the future, we will see that the face time is less about entertaining, you know, marital problems, all these things. It's about policies.
We'll still have some of those issues.
Of course.
We need to write to the federal government to try to solve, whether it's the issue of ICs, for example, or issues of student loans. You know, whenever we have to deal with any federal government agency or ministry, I think the MP has a role to play in terms of facilitating the request of the individual voter.
Right. And Uni, when you mentioned service centres, you're talking about the ones that fall under each MP.
Yes, the Pusat Khidmat. Yeah. The Pusat Khidmat Parliament, yes.
Yeah, in the constituency. YB, I just wanted to follow up on front-facing and more engagement with voters. I mean, would you agree with Uni that, you know, perhaps local councillors would have to pitch in, so to speak? And
I agree, but we also need to look at it from a more holistic standpoint, which is that we need also to have local elections to make local councillors accountable.
Mm.
Right? Right now, it is an appointment system by the state government. So although I really value the work that my local councillors do in my area, all appointed by Pakatan Harapan in Selangor, sometimes the average voters will not know who their local councillor is because the local councillor is not really sort of incentivized to put himself or herself out there. The same thing for the mayor, you know. mayors, if you think about mayors in cities like London and New York, they hold a very powerful position. Many people know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Malaysia, you know, if I ask you who's the DBKL mayor now, you probably won't be able to say. Tell me. In fact, I also probably don't know because I've forgotten his name.
I've forgotten his name, but yes, I did read about his appointment. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. That's why in the long term, I think the proposal that we put in the paper is for these long-term changes to happen, we have to have local election first. And of course, we have to have a proper political financing act. Because right now, CDF, as we like it or not, it's sort of a de facto campaign fund, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the MPs, especially the ruling party MPs, have like all the time, all the money in the world to actually... Surface the constituencies and raise their possibility of getting elected because they give better service to the communities.
Mm.
So if we have a proper political financing act in the future and there's an allocation state funding to political parties, then we will probably need less of CDF given to the MPs directly. The MPs, as MP said, can still play a role in facilitating, in advising of what kind of project, but as a gatekeeper of the money, that role will be reduced in the future.
So then that's meant to increase more accountability.
Yes.
But you know, YB, you said that you know, local council elections has been, you know, a sticking point for years now. Do you see or would you be concerned if local council elections are held? Because let's say the local councillors come from a different party than the MPs and the add-ons. Are you concerned that there could be a potential misalignment in terms of, you know, working together?
No, that's part of the democratic process. I mean, if you look at democracies around the world, people don't expect their local councillors to be from the same party as their member of parliament. Right. I think, you know, we need to move towards that direction. What I want to say about local council elections is that it's a very politically thorny issue because different people have different views on this.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to say is that if we want to talk about reform in local council elections, we also need to talk about reforming the larger electoral system in Malaysia. So the gerrymandering and the malapportionment that creates the constituency like Bangi with 187,000 voters versus Putrajaya with 20,000 voters, or Langkawi with 30,000 voters. I think those are some of the things that needs to be corrected, and then reform of the upper house and a lot of all these kinds of other issues needs to be discussed in context. It cannot be just local council elections alone, because that will muddy the water and allow people to sort of like polarize the issue.
Right. On that note, we're going to go for a quick break. I'm speaking today with Sri Muniati Yusuf, manager of the Public Finance Unit at IDEAS, as well as Bangi MP, Dr. Ong Kian Ming. When we come back, we'll be looking at issues of transparency and more when it comes to CDFs. Keep it here on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Hazrul Ashraf. Today I'm speaking about a proposal that's been put forth by Bursay 2.0 and IDEAS to suggest that all MPs and ADUNs receive equal CDFs, constituency development funds, to address questions of political competition and ensure that you know, constituencies are better developed and issues faced by the rakyat are better addressed. I've got Sri Muniati Yusuf, manager of the Public Finance Unit at IDEAS, as well as Bangi MP, Dr. Ong Kian Ming. You know, YB, let's look at your constituency in Bangi. You mentioned that you have 187,000 voters. You have an annual budget, correct me if I'm wrong, of 100,000 ringgit.
100,000 ringgit from the federal government, 300,000 from the state government. So
okay.
400,000.
So around 400,000 ringgit total.
Yeah.
Are you able to allocate, you know, are you able to budget properly? I mean, what sort of issues does your constituency specifically face? I mean, you mentioned things like development and so on, but what are the issues you're facing?
I'll give you some examples. Suddenly, if let's say there's a big flood in my area, you know, we need to provide fresh blankets, mattresses. Sometimes we need to give food out. It can cost anywhere from 5,000 to you know, 20,000,
right,
depending on how big the flood is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a very costly expenditure. And then sometimes, you know, residents would want their roads to be paved. This is, I'm talking about those inside condos, especially the low cost and the medium-cost condos because those roads are not taken care of by the local council.
That includes potholes?
No, potholes in the condo complex, not outside. The local council will take care of it. Yeah, so it's very varied. I mean, sometimes people will come to you for the normal NGOs, Persatu and Penduduk, the different persatuans from the different religious organizations as well. So can you imagine for a place like Bangi with such a large number of voters, and also, they will also have a lot of needs, a lot of persatuans, a lot of NGOs. So I really have to budget carefully. And if, let's say, my constituency funding runs out, I have to tell the persatuan to say, look, maybe you'll apply next year. I have limitations for this year. One last thing about this constituency issue that I'm not sure whether you're going to bring up later. I think it's very important for MPs to have to make reports, regular reports in terms of how they spend their money. Right now, it's not compulsory, but a number of us, a very limited number of us, myself, Wong Chen, Maria Chin, I think Hannah Yeo, we actually publish how we spend our money, a simple breakdown on a yearly basis.
And you put that, where do you publish that?
Yeah, I put it on my website. Okay. And then you probably can Google it as well. And I've shown shown this during the Bursa presentation.
Yeah,
really? No, but one of the things is quite interesting, right? The first thing that the voters think when they have some problems, the first thing they think is go to the MPs. It's quite pressure. Instead of going to, say, local councils, right? Say, for example, flood in Kajang or in Bangi happens. Don't the local council have some allocation for that kind of purpose? And I believe there's some allocation as well for NGOs. So I think for me, it's like, how do we make sure that this burden that you have to face shifted to the local councils in the future?
Do the local councils, what do the allocations look like on their end, YB, in your constituency? Do you know?
So the local councillors also get an allocation from the local council for their activities, Gotong Royong, Chantas, Poko, and things like that. And I agree with Uni, actually. I mean, if let's say I could be the responsibility of giving out this, flooding aid and stuff like that can be taken away from me personally and to be given to the relevant agencies, whether it's at the federal, state, or even at the local council level. I think that would make the life of an MP much more focused on policy making. But unfortunately, that's not the case now, especially in the more rural areas. I really had to tip my hat off to my colleagues who work in the rural areas. The needs of the constituents there are actually much higher compared to, let's say, middle-class voters in places like PJ or Bangi.
How do you prioritize, because you said you can't really, meet all the requests of your constituents when it comes to,
It comes with experience. Mm. So, for example, for the NGOs whom I've worked with in the past and I know that they can deliver, they use the money wisely and they actually spend it properly on their members, then I would be able to allocate the same amount, if not more, for the following years. But if, let's say, an NGO comes to me and then I give them one time and then I find out that they have not used the money properly or in an accountable fashion, then probably the next year I would not give them funding. So it's based on experience.
Yeah, but here it is, right? It's quite varies from one MP to another. If you don't have legislation, then, of course, a good MP, they publish reports. They require the NGOs that receive the funding to use the money accountably. Mm-hmm. But different MPs have different way of doing things. So, of course, as YB said, most of the MPs, we don't know how much money do they get.
Yeah, or how they
spend the money. And whether the NGOs they're given money to, they use the money for, for intended purposes.
So how can, so you're in this proposal, and you would propose that the way MPs and NGOs spend their money be made public.
Yes,
but how can they be strengthened? Perhaps YB, do you keep a track of your funds and how they're spent?
There's a simple way to do it. So, for example, if let's say the Constituency Development Fund Act states that your annual accounts have to be audited by some auditor. It can be somebody from the Auditor General's department. And this means that you have to provide the receipts, you have to show who you give the money to. Mm-hmm. And then, just like how the annual reports of statutory bodies are presented in Parliament, the spending, the annual accounts of each individual MP can also be presented in Parliament. So it's a fairly straightforward process. But to actually get the political will and the support of all MPs or the government of the day to introduce something like this, I think it's not so easy. Easier said than done.
What sort of conversations do you think need to be had, on both the state and federal levels, among lawmakers for there to be, to get to that consensus?
Yeah, so I think this is a good time now because nobody knows who's going to win the next election, okay. General election at the federal level. So basically, let's say you can come up with some sort of agreement to say that no matter who wins the election, the constituency allocation is going to be given equally. And at the same time, let's work towards a situation where we can actually propose a Constituency Act, Development Fund Act, so that when this act is proposed, then it won't be on the whims and fancy of whoever's in Parliament or whoever's the Prime Minister to allocate how much you want to do this certain person or to this this particular party. So you won't have a situation whereby, the Prime Minister will allocate 100,000 ringgit to the President of UMNO. even though he's a member of the government, right? So everything is stipulated in the Constituency Development Fund Act, and this would definitely be the right step in terms of making spending more accountable in Malaysia.
I would love to mention here that actually Selangor, Pejabat Daerah Selangor, actually quite good in disclosing the information, the use of the funding. Right now, the ICU reports the use of the Constituency Development Fund, but it's very disaggregated. It's not disaggregated amount. So we don't know how much money given to MPs or to ADUN or even to senators, right? Each individual senators and individual MP. In the case of Selangor, the Kuala Langat Pejabat Daerah, for example, disclose monthly how much money is being used by the ADUN. Mm. So that's one of the good practice, I think, that can be replicated. Yeah, a model that can be used by both the federal and also state governments.
You know,
yeah, there's a little bit of a secret out there. I'm not sure whether I should reveal, but since I'm
You're here.
No, I mean, yeah, you can actually try to use the Freedom of Information Act in the Selangor State Assembly to request for the spending records of individual ADUNs and MPs who get allocation from the state government. But in terms of the level of detail that will be produced, I think it really depends on each local authority. Hulu Langat may be different from Kuala Selangor, maybe different from the Petaling district. So that's one way. Uni, maybe a next project for you guys.
yeah. I think that's why the enactment at the state level is needed right now. Like the MPs, the practice of Aris. Some pejabat daerah are really good. Some don't even report.
Yeah.
So if we require them, in legislation that they have to report in certain format, and these are the information that need to be put out there, then I think this will, they will improve transparency and accountability.
YB, do you have a ballpark figure of what's ideal for MPs, for starters? I mean, is because government MPs now get 1 million ringgit?
3.5 million.
It's 3.5 when we were in government. Now they are saying that it's 5 million. Maybe it will be increased next year if there's going to be elections. Who knows?
Well, per MP.
Yeah.
No, I think we need to have a proper discussion among the stakeholders to say that, look, how much do we need to get for salary of staff? How many staff expected do we need to get? How much should we pay one of them, whether it's to do research at the parliamentary level, to the parliamentary office, or in the constituency office. So all these things, I think, need to be discussed in a more wide-ranging detail. Perhaps, ideas or some other think tank can come up with some sort of a framework for further discussion. And I think this will be one of the things that we can bring forward so that all stakeholders can have their inputs into this process.
Any final thoughts? Any other considerations that need to be made in the near term?
I think one of the things that we put in the paper in the immediate term, as YB said, we won't have the CDF legislation, right? But at least the guidelines that we have now, the ICU has, the Pejabat Daerah or the Pejabat Kewangan Negeri have, please disclose that to the public. So at least we know where the money comes from, how much money is given to MPs. So this would be the first step if we want to improve transparency.
YB?
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity for people of different parties to come together. So, for example, my colleagues in Parliament in UMNO have said that they don't want they want Parliament to convene again. They don't want this emergency to continue until August.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly, perhaps you know, we can come to some sort of an agreement with those more progressive MPs from different parties to agree on something like this moving forward, perhaps before the next general election.
With that, Uni and YB, thanks for joining me today, weighing in.
Thank you for having us.
All right. I've been speaking with Sri Muniyati Yusuf, manager of the Public Finance Unit at IDEAS, as well as Bangi MP, Dr. Ong Kian Ming. We were looking at a proposal by Bursaih 2.0 and IDEAS for all MPs and Aduns to receive equal CDFs, equal constituency development funds, and ways that can be legislated. If you missed any of today's conversation or previous Live and Learn episodes, do check out our podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or you can subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. Once again, I'm Hezrul Ashraf, and this has been Live and Learn on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.